just like to thank the young people tonight for their singing. I've enjoyed the messages that they've brought to us this evening. I want to read with you tonight from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're reading from the 19th verse. This is a very well-known portion of Scripture, and you'll be able to follow it easily tonight. John 1 and 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Esaias." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethbarbara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but he that should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Could we bow just in a word of prayer? Father, we bow in your presence this evening in the Saviour's lovely name. And we thank you for all that we've heard already tonight. We thank you for these lovely songs that the young people have been singing about our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray as we just turn to thy word, that we might know your help this evening, and that we might know your enabling. And Father, that through your word tonight, that the Savior might be uplifted and exalted, and that someone in the meeting tonight who do not know him might be led to come and put their trust in him. Father, we look to thee. We depend upon thee this evening. In the Savior's lovely name. Amen. In the portion of Scripture that we've read together tonight, we have the great character of John the Baptist brought before us. Perhaps you know tonight that John was the last of the prophets. He was also the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had this to say about John, that he was a burning and a shining light. In another occasion, the Lord Jesus said, "Among men which are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." John was an outstanding preacher. Because as you go through the Gospels, the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, You will discover this evening, that John preached very plainly about sin. And he warned about coming wrath and judgment. He talked about the need of repentance before anyone could be saved. And you know, this evening, John warned the Pharisees on one occasion. He said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. You see, John believed in a coming day of wrath. I wonder tonight, dear friend, do you believe that in the meeting? You see, the scriptures tell us that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised them from the dead. You see, tonight, John's preaching was causing quite a stir up at Jerusalem. The Jews up at Jerusalem, they were wondering about John, who he really was. In fact, some of them thought he was the Christ. And so they sent a deputation down to John to find out and to ask him who he really was. Let me say this tonight, that, you know, there were great crowds of people that came to hear John preach. They came from Jerusalem and from Judea and from round about Jordan to hear John preach. And so when these men came to John, they said to him, Who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? Art thou the Christ? And John answered, No. Art thou Elias or Elijah? And again John answered, No. You see, there was an expectation among the Jews that one day God would send Elijah. And you know, this expectation that they had, it was a scriptural one. For you see, it was founded on the Old Testament in the last book of the Bible and almost in the last chapter, where God promises to send Elijah before that dreadful day of the Lord. But you know, this prophecy that they were thinking about, it has to do with the second event of the Lord Jesus in a coming day. So here they are asking John, Art thou Elias? And he said, No. Art thou that prophet? Who were they thinking about? Who was the prophet? You see, God had said through Moses in Deuteronomy 18, Behold, I will direct a prophet unto you from among my brethren. It was really referring to the Lord Jesus. And when they asked John, Art thou that prophet? He said, No. And then they said to him, Well, if you're not Elias, or you're not the Christ, or you're not that prophet, who are you? Why are you baptizing then? You know, I love the words of John the Baptist when he said, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. You know, John's object or mission, the purpose of his ministry, was to direct folk to Christ. And here he is using the very words that the Spirit of God had penned about him 700 years almost before. You can see the humility of this man. He was a great servant of the Lord. You know, tonight, friends, when they went on asking John seemed to just ignore their questions. And he said this to them. He said, There standeth one among you whom ye know not. My, how that brings out the spiritual darkness of Israel at that very moment of time. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. Friend, you know, I could use those words perhaps in the meeting this evening. I wonder, are you in the meeting tonight? And we could say this about you. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. You have never yet come to the Savior and trusted him as your very own. You're still in darkness tonight, still in your sins, still on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. But you know, as John stood there that day, he saw the Lord Jesus coming toward him. And he cried these wonderful words that I want to leave very simply with you tonight. He cried, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You know, I think these are wonderful words that came from the lips of John the Baptist. I want you to notice the title tonight that John gave to the Lord Jesus. He calls him the Lamb of God. You know, if you go through the scriptures tonight, you will find there are many wonderful names and titles that belong to the Lord Jesus. I was just thinking today, you know, over the past week, our pastor has been taking us through different parts of Isaiah. Isaiah was known as the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament. And in Isaiah 9 and 6, he said this concerning the Lord Jesus. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see, tonight these are all wonderful titles of the Lord Jesus. And you know, when you come into the New Testament this evening, there are so many there that belong to the Lord Jesus. You know, dear friends, you remember tonight the superscription that was above the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. You know, some of the old Pharisees, they were annoyed at that superscription. They went along to Pilate and they said to him, in other words, "Take it down. It's not that he is the King of the Jews, but that he said he was the King of the Jews." I like what Pilate said to them. "What I have written, I have written." You know, dear friends, there's a coming day when the Lord Jesus will become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, when you go to the last book of the Bible tonight, you hear the Lord Jesus saying, "I am the bright and morning star. I am Alpha and Omega." You know, dear friends, these are all luxurious titles of the Lord Jesus. But oh, dear friends, tonight, I want you to see tonight that the most important title perhaps is the one that John gave to him this evening. He called him the Lamb of God. You see, I want you to remember tonight that there was a great crowd gathered round the Baptist that day, John the Baptist that day. And you know, they were all Jews. And you know, when John cried out these words, "Behold the Lamb of God," I begin to wonder perhaps, what did they think? What thoughts can enter their mind when John uttered those words? You see, they would have known about Abel's lamb. They would have known about those wonderful words that Abraham said to Isaac on the mount when he asked his father, "Behold the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." These people would have known about that. For you see, dear friends, every Sabbath day, the Old Testament scriptures were read to them. Yes, they would have known about Abel's lamb and those words of Abraham. They would have remembered Exodus 12, the Passover lamb. They would have thought maybe about Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement. I wonder what would have come into their minds about Isaiah 53. "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter." You know, dear friends, as they stood there that day and listened to John crying out these words, Behold the Lamb of God. You know, John was directing their attention to their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, tonight, dear friends, He's God's Lamb. You see, these people of Israel, they were used every Sabbath day of bringing a lamb and sacrifice, a lamb of their own provision. But here is God's Lamb. And this Lamb of God tonight, it wasn't for an individual. It wasn't for a family. It wasn't for the nation. It was for the world. John cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see tonight, dear friends, in John chapter 1 here tonight, there are 8 wonderful titles that belong to the Savior. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, we read these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, that verse brings out the deity of the Savior. And then as you read down, you'll see this tonight, that not only His deity, but you'll see His ability. Because John 1 and 3 says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Yes, He's the Word, capital W. He's the life, He's the light. And as you go down the chapter, you will see that He's the Son of God. You will see that He's the Messiah. You will see that He's the Son of Man. And you will see that He's the King of Kings. You see tonight, dear friends, it wasn't possible for a mere man to make atonement for the world's sin. God's man had to do that. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. You see tonight, dear friends, at the place called Calvary, the Son of God became the Lamb of God to bear away the sin of the world. Yes, you can see this wonderful title tonight. You can see not only this wonderful title, but I think, dear friend, you can see the wonderful task that the Savior came to do. Take away the sin of the world. You know, tonight, dear friends, in our hymns we've been singing about the cross. We were singing in our opening hymn tonight, "They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He prayed. They marched Him through the streets of shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They cried out, 'He's to blame.'" You know, there came that moment in the life of the Lord Jesus when in the Garden of Gethsemane He was arrested. You remember that they spat upon Him. And then you remember that they smote Him with their hands. And then they took Him from Gethsemane to the high priest's palace. And there again He was buffeted. And again He was mishandled and abused. And then He was brought to Pilate. And you know, Pilate thought he would get rid of Him. And he sent Him to Herod. And you know, Herod and his men of war set Him at naught. And then they took the Lord Jesus and sent Him back to Pilate again. And you know, dear friends, there came that moment when Pilate made that choice and he delivered the Lord Jesus to be crucified. And they took the Lord Jesus outside the city wall. And Luke tells us in that lovely verse, in Luke 23 and 33, when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Oh, you know tonight, dear friends, as He hung there on the cross of Calvary, you remember that from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, darkness cover the Lamb. And there in the darkness, you know, dear friends, the Savior cried those awful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, dear friends, at that very moment on the cross, God laid our sins upon the Savior. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And you know, dear friends, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You see, there in the darkness of Calvary, the Lord Jesus bore away your sin and mine tonight. And we were singing tonight, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. You know, I remember reading a little story about Queen Victoria. I always thought she was a great queen. In fact, I believe tonight that she was saved. But you know, one day she made an unofficial visit to a paper mill. And as she was being shown round by the owner, round the mill, all the different departments and what went on in them, she came to this place which was known as the rag room. All the different rags from all over the country were brought and put into this room. And you know, the Queen said to the owner of the mill, don't tell me, she said, that you can make nice, fine writing paper out of those dirty, filthy rags. Oh, he said, Your Majesty, we can indeed. He says, you know, we have a process that can deal with that. And out of those dirty, filthy rags, we can make some of the best writing paper. You know, a few days later, when the Queen came to her desk and sat down, she discovered this lovely writing pad sitting on her desk. And there was a little letter in the opening page of it from the owner of the mill, asking her to accept this writing pad from him. And conveying to him that it was through these dirty rags that this lovely writing paper was made. And then the owner of the mill said this to the Queen in the letter. He said, you know, Your Majesty, I have a great many sermons preached to me in the mill. He said, you know, I can understand how the Lord Jesus can take the vilest of the vile. And through the blood that he shed at Calvary, I can see that it can make them whiter than the snow. Isn't that wonderful tonight? Dear friend, are you in the meeting tonight unsaved? I wonder tonight, do you know the joy of sins forgiven? Wonder, can you lay your head on the pillow at night and thank God that you know that it's well with your soul? That if anything were to happen to you, you know you'll be all right for eternity. I remember a lady saying to me on one occasion, she said, you know, Ronnie, I've committed that many sins. I don't think there's any forgiveness for me. Friend, I can assure you tonight that through the blood of the Lord Jesus, if you come to him tonight and were you to make him your Savior, your sins would be forgiven. And bless God, your name will be written in heaven. You know, John stood that day and he cried, behold the Lamb of God. You see, friends, he was directing the gaze of all who stood beside him that day to the Lord Jesus. You know, when you behold something, you view it very attentively. And you know, dear friends, John was directing the gaze of everyone to the Lord Jesus. In other words, dear friend, it was a look of faith. You know, tonight, sometimes we sing, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. You know, Amelia Hull was a young Devonshire girl. She lived in the south of England. And one day she was walking through her village when she noticed this big tent being erected. And she wondered what was going to take place in the tent. It wasn't very long until someone came round and gave her a little leaflet, an invitation to come to some gospel meetings. And so one night she went to that tent and she heard the gospel story. And you know, she'd never heard it preached like this before. And it spoke to her heart. And as she listened that night, she realized her need of the Savior. She went home that night, slipped out of the tent and went home. And her father was waiting for her. And he said, "Where have you been?" She said, "I've been to the tent, to the gospel meetings." And he gave her a barge and he said, "You know, us people, we don't go there to those sort of places. I forbid you to go back." But you know, the young woman's heart was touched. And she couldn't wait to hear more about the Lord Jesus. And so 2 or 3 days went by and she made up her mind, in spite of her father's command, she would go and listen. And she went back. And you know, that night, as she listened again, she opened her heart to the Savior. And she let him in. And he saved her. And you know, she made her way home and her father was waiting on her. And he said to her, "Where have you been?" She says, "I was back at the meetings and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior." He said, "You go to your room and you meet me in the morning in the dining room and I'll give you a thrashing." You know, the young woman went into her room that night. I'm not sure what she thought about what her father had said or not. But you know, she took a pen and paper and she wrote that hymn that I've just quoted to you. "There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree." You know, she wrote 5 verses. The next morning, she came down to the dining room and she had the little slip of paper with all the verses on it. And her father was standing with the riding whip. And she said, "Dad, before you hit me, will you read those verses?" And he took the little slip of paper and he began to read them. And as he read them verse after verse, she noticed a change coming over him. She saw the tears starting to come down his face. Do you know, she had the great joy of pointing him to the Savior. You know, I'm told that when her brother came home, he was out in the army. When he came home and he saw the change in the home, he saw the change in his father, he saw the change in his sister, that he too got gloriously saved. On the way down there in Exeter, there's a little gospel hall to bear testimony to this little girl and to her witness for the Lord Jesus. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, I wonder, have you ever realized that you need the Savior? Remember, if you continue to bypass him, if you continue to turn your back on him, there might well come a day, you know, when the Savior comes again, that you could be left behind in your darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore. You know, these are days of opportunity. Opportunity for you tonight to come and trust the Savior. I can remember the night I came. And I can remember the little verse that spoke to my heart. "By faith I saw him on the tree. I knew his blood was shed for me. And by that look, O love divine, I now am his and he is mine." You know, the older I get,
I'm so glad that I'm saved tonight and on my way to heaven. May the Lord bless His word to your heart tonight, for His name's sake.